welcome back to Tom Girl. This is episode 33. We're going to be talking a little sports broadcasting and the Super Bowl with sports reporter Danielle Avari. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And to get you fired up here. You got a little cheer for us? Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm JJ Juergens. You can follow me at Tom Girl TV. And I'm joined here today with a very special guest, sports reporter Danielle Avari. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me, JJ.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I'm so excited.
Tell everybody real quick where they can follow you on social media.
It's just my name. So Danielle Avari. Okay. D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E. A-L-B-A-R-I.
All right. Yeah. Now, we played that song for you because you used to be a UCLA cheerleader.
I know. Once a cheerleader, always a cheerleader. Yeah.
Let's start out by talking a little bit about your UCLA days, since that's kind of where your sports broadcasting career began.
Sure.
So I think we have a picture there of you. Tell us about this.
Yeah. Many, many ab workouts ago. I got nominated for Sports Illustrated Cheerleader of the Week when I was my last year as a UCLA cheerleader, and it was very exciting. I got a lot of attention for it that I was not ready for.
Was being in Sports Illustrated a goal that you had had?
No, I mean, because I didn't think it was possible, frankly. It wasn't the printed version. It was online. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. That's a goal.
You don't have to downplay it. That's still cool.
Obviously. No,
you
don't even, yeah. Yeah. That's one of many Sports Illustrated covers to come, obviously. No, it was really cool. It was unexpected. And yeah, our football team was really good that year, so just kind of put the cherry on top of it.
I know, they used to have like I could be getting this wrong, so don't get mad at me, but it was like a hometown hero in Sports Illustrated where they would highlight like high school athletes in the bottom of the corner. Do you remember that section?
I'm with you.
I just wondered if you ever dreamed of that, because when I was growing up, I used to always flip through, you know, my dad's magazines, and I always had a goal of wanting to be in that little box of the magazine, but
yeah.
My goal was to become
a UCLA cheerleader. So everything that happened after was just frosting.
Okay. You know? So how did you go about obtaining that goal?
Well, so I was a transfer student. So go to junior college, kids. It saves tons of money. and then I transferred to UCLA. And the year I was transferring, I had been prepping because I wanted to become a UCLA cheerleader. And the week of the tryout, I broke my foot 3 days before. So I went to the tryout anyways on crutches. And then I stuffed the shoe on over a fat foot and I took whatever the doctor prescribed, and then I went out and tried to do the tryout, and they told me day one, they said, "You're kind of limping, like what's going on?" And I was like, "Oh, I broke my foot." And they're like, "Oh, when?" And I was like, Wednesday. So it was very recent, and so they were like, "Maybe you don't try out this year." So it was really sad. But then I got to spend the first year at UCLA as an actual student, so that was really cool, and I ended up just working that much harder the following year, and I was able to make it. And I stayed at UCLA for 2.5 years, so I got to cheer for 2 years. And it made it that much sweeter when I actually made the team, because, I mean,
because you had gone through that adversity to get there.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Well, you've met some great people while you're there, too. I think I pulled some of your Instagram photos here.
Oh, Dickie V.
Yeah, yes. Legend.
Yes.
How was meeting him?
He's as fun as he seems on social media. Yeah, it was very cool. And then he actually tweeted that out. So I got the photo from him, but
great.
Yeah, whenever I saw a sports broadcaster, the one person I wanted to get a picture with is Carrie Champion, was at a UCLA football game this year. Did not get a picture with her. So whenever I see a broadcaster, I always want to jump in a picture, like a fangirl, which I shouldn't. Yeah. I should be like a peer, but I totally fangirl, especially over Carrie Champion.
Yeah, why would you not, you know? And this one, I mean, I would be fangirling over this.
Oh, I know, it's
this.
Dark. I obviously just came from the gym. I didn't care. This is my picture with Russell Westbrook. It's totally worth it.
So you had a good fun story about this one I want you to share with the listeners or viewers about Russell.
Yeah, yes. Who doesn't want a Russell Westbrook story? No, I was interning in the UCLA athletic department, and the person was overseeing me texted me and said, "If you're not on campus, get here now." And I was like, I just got home. If you've been to UCLA's campus, there's so many hills. I don't have a scooter to get there. Are you sure? And he's like, "Get here now." So I show up and I walk in. I'm like, "What? You need me to hold a light or something?" And he's like, points. And I'm like, "That's Russell Westbrook." He's like, "Yeah." So he was there doing some promo stuff for UCLA men's basketball season. And so I got to watch Russell Westbrook. And then they're doing one of the hits and they're like, "All right, next one, do an 8-clap. And he looks like, I don't know how to do an 8-clap. Mm-hmm. And then my boss looked at me and he goes, "Well, we have a UCLA cheerleader here and she can teach you an 8-clap. And I was like, don't make me talk to Russell. I was so scared. But yeah, so I got to teach him in 8th class. And he messed it up, but I don't blame myself as the teacher, but I mean, yeah. You can say they got to teach Russell Westbrook right. The A-Clap.
Yeah, and for those of you not familiar with the UCLA A-Clap, it's like famous. I mean, that's what they do at all the games.
You have
it's
to
the
know
student
it.
Section. Yeah, and unless it's you're Russell huge. Westbrook. Yeah, which I said, I'm like, he didn't know the owner, but you called it like they might not know it. You said a lot of the athletes don't know
it
because, yeah.
They hear it, they don't do
but
it.
But they're in the game. Right,
sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, I understood exactly. Why. And I mean, he can do no wrong because he's Russell Westbrook.
Any other big moments that you witnessed in UCLA athletics while you were there?
Ooh, man. Pick a story. Pick a week.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty great teams.
Yeah. I mean, it was really cool because the time I was there, I got to cover players that now I watch play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, Brett Hundley, I mean, they're all in the NFL now. So it was really cool because they were student peers of mine and I got to, you know, cover them at football practice and now they're playing in the NFL and it's cool to like actually know them on a personal level because I think that makes it fun to cheer for teams like that. Because people ask me like, who's your favorite professional sports team? And I'm like, I don't have favorites. I have players I like, you know, and that's who I want to cheer for and they move around. So
yeah, for sure. So talk about how you made the transition from being a student and the cheerleading to then you became a reporter for or your first broadcasting job was for UCLA Athletics.
Yeah, it was. So I say I was an intern at UCLA Athletics, but there was no internship. I made it. So I just was like, hey, can I shadow so-and-so and whatever? And their video department was kind of going an overhaul. And so I said, hey, can I come and shadow this person? And that kind of just turned into like, yeah, sure, like we'll make this an internship. So I just kind of got to jump on whatever they were doing and help them out in any way that I could. Very similar to being production assistant. And then once I realized like, my dad actually mentioned it. He goes, you should be a reporter. You should be a sports reporter. I was like, they don't pay people to do that. But they totally pay people to talk about sports. I don't know if anyone knows this. Yeah, that's a career you can pick. So once my dad enlightened me, I was like, oh, yeah, I would be good at that. I like that. Mm-hmm. So I started, I bought a camera and I bought a microphone and I bought a tripod because I didn't have a good friend to take with me. And I asked through departments or whoever I knew. And so I knew Coach Mora because I was a cheerleader and because we did a little bit of work with them video wise. And so I just asked, can I come to practice and shoot some interviews? And I mean, that's how I got started. Mm-hmm. I just brought my own camera and got up at 7 a.m. and went to practice. And like, I'm complaining, like the guys were actually practicing. Yeah. Like, I had to do my makeup at 7 a.m. But yeah.
What I love about this has been a theme through some of the guests here. A lot of them, there hasn't been the position that they wanted. You know, last time it's like, like you said. Right. So I love that you just asked and you asking is key.
Well, I think it's my favorite thing is the movie Field of Dreams. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Okay. If you build it, they will come. Okay, and I subscribe to that idea very much. I mean, I'm still waiting for them to come, but if you build it, they will come.
What was it like if you remember going back through your mind and that thing, thinking, well, I guess I'll just go ask, or I'll just go, you know? Do you remember that process at all?
I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just bought a camera and I was like, I'm going to go ask questions. And like, oh, if you watch it now, it's like, oh, like I cringe. And I still have so much farther to go in my career and like so much to work on now. And so I watch back old footage and I'm like, oh my God, like people saw that. Like that's how I got my first job. Like, yeah. So, but that's what I did. I just, if you don't have a job doing what you want to do, then maybe just find a way to produce it yourself, and then you never know what's going to happen from that.
So. And that's what everybody does, looks back, you know, but at least you have to start somewhere and have those times, or at least you're like, okay, learning, oh, wait, I'm not going to do that again, you know, or shouldn't wear this or that, like you learn and you grow.
And my first interview, the microphone wasn't working, so I used the microphone for like aesthetic purposes, but the audio was terrible, and I was like, oh, I was interviewing, like, he plays in the NFL now, and I was interviewing this, it was Oa Digazua, I think, was my first interview, and it was just hilarious. It's like this crappy mic that wasn't plugged in, and it was like, oh, God. Yeah. But
and that's the worst, when you get back and you go and look at the footage, and you're all excited, and then the audio is bad.
No, at the time, I was like, yes, like, right? Nailed it, crushed it, but like, so bad, mortified. Yeah. I mean, oh, God. So bad. I'm getting a little PTSD right now. So I'm probably
going to
move on.
So after that, your next step was doing some reporting for CBS. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was my first job out of UCLA. I got a job in Cheyenne, Wyoming at CBS 5, KGWN. and I was a weekend sports anchor, and during the week I was a sports reporter. And that was my first job. I had to move to Wyoming.
What were some of the stories that you covered, topics?
Oh, man. The highest profile one I got to do was about 6 months in. I got to go to a Nuggets game because the Lakers were playing the Nuggets, and Larry Nance Jr. went to Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a rookie that year. And so I got to go do an interview with him. And my coworker had gone the previous time when they had come to play, and Larry was like busy because he was playing, and so he got to talk to him, but it wasn't a live shot. I got to do a live shot because he was sitting out this game. So I was like, I'm doing a live interview at an NBA game. Oh my God. And I got to see Kobe. I got to see Kobe in person. That was really cool. But that was like my highest profile.
I think we have a picture of, and it might be out of order. Oh, it's photo 4, Anthony.
Wait. Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, oh, D'Angelo Russell in the background. My best friend pointed that out after. She's like, who's eyeing the goods in the background? I'm like, oh, yeah. Well,
that's awesome.
Maybe there was something over there. Yeah, there's a lot of photogs behind me.
You said, I think you also had to cover things like blizzards and
rodeo.
Rodeo
is brutal. If you didn't grow up on a farm, or, I mean, you went to school in Nebraska, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm California through and through. Like, I don't know how to drive in snow. That was an adventure. I mean, they're just like, oh, head out there. And I'm like, there's ice. And, like, not to be a pain in the butt, but I don't know how to drive in this.
Yeah.
But, no, yeah, I mean, rodeo is brutal. Yeah. If you've never watched that. And, like, it kind of made me a vegetarian. Like, I'm like, pretty much a vegan now. And I know that's really obnoxious. Like, I'll have to let you know I'm a vegan. But no, like, I literally didn't eat meat for, like, I covered rodeo and I couldn't eat meat for...
Yeah, it's hard. Two things on that one. When I first moved here, too, I was like, Californians cannot drive in rain. Like I said, I think every California person should have
LA.
To. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I won't say all California, LA people.
Yeah.
So the LA people need to go to driving school in Nebraska for a 2-week driving school, make them drive on the ice and the snow and scrape their windshield and do all that kind of stuff and come back out here and then like try, you know, at least drive in the rain. Don't even have to drive in the ice.
Yeah.
But then my grandpa actually owned a cattle farm. I didn't grow up on a farm, I grew up on a lake in Nebraska, but my grandpa owned a cattle farm.
You were around it.
It's like, and we had great meat, but it's like I'm even the same. It's now I'm like, I don't know that I could go back.
I'm like,
and
the sound
like
of cows crying is never...
I know, I can't do it anymore.
Like,
either,
like, I yeah, so,
they're so they're
not
so
to
cute.
Ruin meat for everybody. I'm
I
sure
know.
That didn't I'm sure that didn't but
yeah,
go cover rodeo. Yeah.
So how was that, like, that transition, you know, working many hours and being in a small town, and, you know, what were some of the struggles with it a bit?
Learning to drive in the snow was my biggest struggle. Honestly, I got stuck on a freeway in a blizzard. My boss had to come pick me up. Like, it was bad. But, yeah, it's very, like, baptism by fire. Like, I got there, and, like, one of my first stories, it wasn't supposed to be a story. It was supposed to be a live shot. But we didn't have service. Like, it was based off of cell service is how the live packs work. So I went out to do the live shot, and they're like, oh, we're killing the live shot. And we had driven, like, over an hour to get there. And I was with one of the weathermen. He came with me because it was, like, my first week. And it started snowing. And so he's like, this would be a great shot for your reel. And he's right. I still have it on there. But it was so great that he did that. But so we did this, and I got back to the station. I'm like, cool, turn a package on it. And I'd been there, like, I don't know, less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, turn a package? What? And they expect you to just... And I was like, well, I've never done that before. And they're like, all right, we'll just do it, and we'll see what it looks like. And I'm like... You're, like, so stressed out when you don't know what you're doing. But after I finished it, they were like, cool, air it. And I'm like, that's going to go on air? They're like, yeah. I was like, all right, I guess I did it right. So it's very, like, not a lot of feedback necessarily, but just, like, trial and error. And, like, it's good for reps. It got me going.
So then were you also editing it together yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah,
everything. And, like, I don't know if you've seen this at all with any of your work in CBS, but a lot of news stations are going towards that one-man band.
Yep.
Thing. So you have to learn how to shoot and edit, which I'm actually very grateful for. I recently met a former, he's a current sportscaster, who told me that he prefers, like, the old school style where reporters were reporters and all they had to worry about was telling a story. But I like that I have the vision of, like, I'm not the most amazing videographer, but I know what things look like behind the lens, and putting the story together myself. And, like, when I'm writing the story, I can think about, I know what shot I have because I took it.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a luxury that I didn't realize. When you're not the camera person, you don't know what shots they got.
Right.
So it is, you had to learn how to do it. You had to learn how to edit. I learned Final Cut, and then my next job, I learned Adobe Premiere, and just recently I started learning Avid. So I've told that to people who girls who have asked me, or I had one guy ask me about starting a sports broadcast career, and I said, get a camera, learn how to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, no, I mean, unless you have some kind of crazy connection, like, you're not going to have someone who's going to put a reel together for you. Like, that's right. That's on you.
Right. And I think that now is crossing all, whether you want to go into sports, mm-hmm. if you want to be an entertainment reporter, any of it. Like,
yeah.
They want that person who, yeah, has the writing skills, can shoot it, host, and edit it all together.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, just the, I mean, it's citizen journalists, like, the rise mm-hmm. of that. And, like, people, everyone with a phone has access to creating a video and uploading it to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So there's danger in that. But there's also a lot of opportunity in that. So that's what's really cool is, like, if you have an idea for something, you can throw it up on YouTube and it's there. And you have a voice that mm-hmm. way. So that's really mm-hmm. kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Just be careful what you say.
Yeah. Any other tips for people who maybe want to pursue the news reporting route or getting into the other markets or...
Oh, advice. I don't feel like qualified to give advice. Like, oh, you want to ask me? Advice. I mean, make sure it's what you really want to do. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be typical in any regard. So if that uh-huh. excites you, then good. But yeah, just if it's something you really want to do, then pursue it and make it happen. And don't wait for other people to help you do it. Because it's then you're just, you know, you have to be mm-hmm. like the catalyst for your own situation mm-hmm. pretty much. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So you also, you produce content interviews for Bruin Report online
yeah.
and Get Sports Focus.
I love
and,
bro.
Yeah, talk about your, and then I guess Cal
Not
High
bro,
Sports
but
Bay Area.
Bro.
So yeah, tell me about some of the other projects that you work on.
Sure. I worked at Cal High Sports Bay Area, and that was a high school sports show, and it was not covering Larry Nance Jr., but it was very interesting because you see these kids. I mean, one of the kids I covered is Najee Harris, and he was like a 5-star recruit, and he ended up going to Alabama, and he played in the college football championship this mm-hmm. year. And so it's cool because I'm like, I covered him at his high school, you know? Like, so it's cool to see them go be able to matriculate through that whole process. But yeah, so I worked there for a little bit, and then I came down, and I always love to do some stuff for Bruin Report Online when I can because I went to UCLA, mm-hmm, and I love mm-hmm. covering that, and it's something I'm passionate about. So I started doing these Bruin Blitz interviews at spring football practice where it was more of a, like, get to know you with the players because, I mean, the players hate it, and I kind of hate it, that, like, I mean, it's necessary. It's a necessary evil, but the post-game press or the post-practice pressers are always like, what does your offense need to do? And how's your defense looking? And what kind of offense are you gonna run a pro style offense? And their players are like, we're gonna run an offense, don't worry about it. So I like to pull them aside, and I think, especially at the college level, you wanna make getting to know the players the priority kind of, because I think that makes the fans more invested than hearing that they're running a pro style offense. No one cares what even is that. So
And people love to see those behind the scenes because they like to get to know the players more and know fun tidbits about them.
Yeah.
So like, what kind of questions or what kind of things do you dig out of them?
I mean, like, for example, like Bolu Olarunfemi, I hope I didn't mess up it, just butcher his name. It's Nigerian, it's really hard. But he was a really great interview. I knew that because he's got high energy. But he also, he said that he likes to, like, sing and dance. And it just got to show more of his personality and be kind of silly. Caleb Wilson, he's a tight end. His father's a coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, actually. Huh. So him saying that he wants to pursue coaching or playing in the NFL, which I think is totally an attainable goal for him. But, yeah, just hearing these background stories that makes them actual people because mm-hmm. people are so quick to be awful to college athletes that are student athletes and they're like their kids. They were in high school, a lot of them, like a year or two ago, and they're not professional athletes. And there's that whole argument of, like, should we be paying college athletes the amount of time they put in and the money that they bring in? But really, I mean, they're students. They're like kids that we're like sitting in mm-hmm. class with, and people, I mean, are mean. Mm-hmm. And so I like humanizing them mm-hmm. and being like, hey, these are, I mean, I asked them, what's your favorite class? And, you know, they'll, oh, I like politics. And I'm like, who knew? Like, Josh Rosen likes politics? I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. So now you have your own passion project.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's talk about that. So tell us the name of your show and how it got started. And
yeah. 2-Minute Warning with Danielle mm-hmm. Avari, because otherwise, how would you know? How would you know who was with? but yeah, I started it, man. I'm coming up on 40 episodes, so almost a year ago.
Woo-hoo.
And it's a weekly show I do, and I write it, I shoot it, I produce it, I edit it. I have a friend who helps me with graphics, so I don't want to, like, say that I do everything. I did do everything initially, and then I was like, you're way better at this. How about you help? Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? And
yes.
People, like, want to combine and help out.
But yeah, and so, when you let go and think you don't have to do everything yourself and start asking for help, too.
Yeah, I'm like, this looks better. I can admit that.
Yeah.
But so at Arizona Get Sports Focus and weekly, and they're a Bay Area, cover all the Bay Area sports kind of thing. And so it airs there weekly, and I write it, and I shoot it, and it's just so fun for me. And yeah, it's been really cool. It's like, it's a project that when you're working at a news station or you're doing something for someone else, you have to mind your P's and Q's, and you have to follow the rules. And okay, Danielle, right now you're working at CBS, you have to look like a polished sports reporter. And if you're doing Bruin Report Online, like, okay, like, don't make the players look terrible and things like that. But when I'm doing my show, like, anything goes. Like, it's my content. I can write it how I want. And it's, I think that's the best showing of, like, my skill set or what I like to talk about or what I like to do. It's, I control the content, I control what it looks like. It's just, it's very fun.
I've watched them and they are very fun. For those who haven't seen them yet, tell us just like some of the things that you talk about or how you get your inspiration for the 2 minutes and more of the process breakdown.
Sure. I like to just pay attention to whatever big is happening in sports. Obviously, like, if the Super Bowl just happened, I can't not talk about that. But I also like to try to find stories that maybe people haven't heard about that are kind of buried in the headlines. Or maybe aren't even in the news that I just find, because the smaller stories don't get as much coverage. I also try to be really aware of, like, covering female sports, because you hear about the NBA and the NFL all the time, but, like, the WNBA, hi, let's talk about that. And so I try to be conscious of also including a lot of female-focused things, because that just gets overlooked a lot of the time. It's just not a large percentage of the sports content, so I try to include that, too. But so writing an episode, I mean, I sit down, I write it on my phone, and then I set up the studio, I shoot it, edit, and then I send it off to get graphics, and then we post it. So, like, that will be my day tomorrow.
What do you do? How did you, for those people who may want to start their own sort of shows like this, what kind of, what setup did you get for your studio?
Well, I just moved studios because I'm, like, down in Southern California right now. But when I'm in the Bay Area, I have, like, a really nice background of sports memorabilia. But, yeah, setting up a studio, I mean, it can be anything. You can shoot anywhere. I'm, like, a stickler for, I hate bad lighting. So I wanted to make sure I had good lighting. And that's what I think makes something look really polished. Because I know some people will shoot videos outdoors, for example. And I'm like, are you going to shoot it outdoors at the exact same time every week? Because the lighting's going to look. So that kind of thing. But if you just set up a studio, I mean, it's your, this is the thing, it's your baby. You can set it up however you want.
Yeah. When you shoot it, what are you shooting on?
Oh, like a handheld camera, point and shoot. Yeah. It's a little annoying because I can't control, like, the white balance and that stuff, but I'm going to get a DSLR next and we'll worry about that.
Sounds good. All right. Well, in the spirit of your show, I wanted to see if you could give us, and, you know, I'm kind of putting her on the spot now, but what would be kind of your 2 minute warning with Danielle Avari for the Super Bowl?
Okay. Well, I haven't shot that one yet. I'm shooting it tomorrow, but I did start to write it.
All right, warm up here.
So I said, you know, the Patriots gave up a lot of offensive yards. Not that Tom Brady didn't do his thing, but they gave up a lot of yards, almost 500, I think, they gave up. And I said, before everyone thinks that I'm picking on the Patriots, I'm not. You totally missed the point, just like Tom Brady missed that catch. So it's stuff like that. Yeah. But, yeah. I don't mean to hate on Tom Brady. I don't want that to come off. There's, like, my absolute favorite sportscaster, or sports personality more, is Katie Nolan,
and she's I love her. Oh, girl crush.
I love that
girl
you know
crush.
Who she is.
Of course.
That sounded bad. I mean, everyone knows.
Even my brother was like, one time he texted me, he's like, "You need to watch Katie." I'm like, "Oh, I know. Like, yeah." And he's like, "She's awesome
from Garbage Time." Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. So she's one of my favorite, and she's a huge. You know, this
Katie, please come on here sometime with us.
Yes.
We'll bring you back.
Yes.
I'd love to.
Can
love
we
that.
Be best friends, despite what I'm about to say. She's a huge Patriots fan, and she's a huge. I mean, I was listening to her podcast the other day, and I was like, "Wow, she really loves Brady." But yeah, she's a big, and so by default, of course, a big Tom Brady fan. And I'm just like, man, that's like, that's where we would disagree. That's what would break the best friendship, I think, is that she's, I'm not a Tom girl.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Tom girl.
Yeah.
I'm
not
a Tom girl.
You're
but
not
I'm
a
like
Tom
this
Brady
week,
girl.
I'm more of a Nick girl, frankly, after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Kind of a Nick girl, not a Tom girl. Not a Tom
that's
Brady
that's fair.
Girl.
That's fair.
Tom girl, not a Tom Brady
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, yeah. what were some other things that you liked or disliked about the Super Bowl?
Oh man, I wasn't really here for the Prince thing. I know they had to do it. He's from Minneapolis. It just felt really forced, and it was weird to see Justin Timberlake do that. That's something I didn't like. Everyone's hating on JT's outfit, and I'm like, this is Okay. It's coming from a man who wore a matching denim outfit with a girlfriend once. Like, maybe we didn't set the bar that high. Also has a song called Suit and Tie. Maybe wear a suit and tie. That's just like one person's opinion. But yeah, everyone was just ripping him over the coals.
I know. I was on the opposite of this one. I actually loved it. I thought it was great. Like, I know I went on, I saw the comments like right away and the hate tweets.
It was love or hate,
I was like,
right?
Yeah, I think it was. Because, yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I love the mirrors. I was like, you know, I liked all the range.
With that one.
I know. Yeah. But it did look cool.
I was like, after that, I was waiting for actual trolls to run out. But it's not.
There you go. That would have been
awesome. Yeah. Also, as much as he made me love him by being an NSYNC and giving us bye bye bye. Mm hmm. Mm-hmm. The Can't Stop the Feeling song just as equally make me want. I can't hear it again.
Can't like that one either.
I can't hear it again. I'm really glad I don't have small children and have to like watch the Trolls movie all the time. But
yeah, maybe I'm an auntie and I have a little niece, and so I love that song. I like it with them, and so.
Oh my god! It's like from Despicable Me, the happy song.
Yeah.
Pharrell.
Oh yeah.
It's like that for me. It's like, it's my own personal hell. Yeah.
Well, when they play it so much, you know?
Yeah.
So, we'll ask you the question. What do you think of Foles? Where do you think he will be playing next year?
Oh, man. Looking at the glass half full. Yeah.
Yeah, if he were to.
I am looking at it half full for him. I mean, it's hard to say. I think that he actually has grounds. I mean, but we're going to base on these last two games, obviously. I mean, he played amazing against the Vikings. Mm-hmm. He played amazing against the Patriots. And, I mean, but also, to be fair, like, Philadelphia Eagles, really great offensive line. So that helps. Mm-hmm. But I think sky's the limit for him right now based on those last performances. But it's just he's notoriously known as kind of a streaky player. It's, like, very hit or miss. But when he hits, it's like...
I was happy to see, and I was happy to see that for him in this game, I think, because I was ready. I do like the Patriots, but I was ready for somebody else to win, and I liked that it was him. I liked that, you know, I like those stories where, like, the guy
after he was so humble.
Yeah.
He's someone you want to root for, and I mean, I saw a picture today on Instagram. One of his teammates was like, this guy could be anywhere in the world today, and he's in the gym working out, and he's, like, wearing his Arizona hat, and I think that he just won the Super Bowl, and he has every right to be like, someone give me $1 billion, mm-hmm. but he's... not. He's like back in the gym.
Yeah. And speaking of Arizona hat, I'm hoping he goes for the Cardinals. But that's just me.
Why the Cardinals?
My mom lives in Phoenix, and we usually go to games together when I go over there. And I like them, so I'd like to see.
You want someone under the age of 40 playing for the Cardinals?
That would be nice too. Yeah, and I'm like with you. I don't really have a team. Yeah, I don't have a team either because we didn't have a professional team in Nebraska, so we were just all about college football.
Well, I cheer for the Bay Area teams, but I don't have a team.
Yeah. Out here, I cheer for the Chargers. I do. I like them. But
Why? I'm not disagreeing. I just want to know your reasoning.
I don't know. I like them. You know, I like Rivers, and I just was more of a Chargers fan.
If I had to pick, I'd go with the Rams, just because one of their backup quarterbacks is Sean Mannion, and he was my quarterback in high school.
Oh, then
so he was playing quarterback, and I was cheering, and it's just really cool to see him in the NFL now. So
And I'm happy to see them do. I mean, I do root for all LA teams to do well, you know, and the turnaround that they had from last season to this season was just spectacular.
Well, no
too,
football team
know?
In Nebraska, so
I know, and no football team, and our college team definitely. Well, now we have hope with Scott Frost being there, so I think
Frost
we're going to be coming back up
coming
exactly. I was very excited about that one. So we'll see, because it's been a painful, like, almost
I can't believe
last...
he's moving from Florida to...
Well, he's from Nebraska.
That's true.
Yeah,
he's
bringing it on home.
He's prepped and primed. Yeah. That's true. He probably was, like, melting in Florida. Like, oh, my God. Is this winter?
More humid than Nebraska even.
Oh, Is Nebraska humid?
Yeah. I know. People never know that, but
it's... Cheyenne is dry. Yeah. It's dry as a bone. Yeah.
In Nebraska, we kind of get all types of crappy weather.
Oh,
we get like the cold wind chill. Like, you know, we get some snow, but it's not like Colorado where it's pretty snow. Like, it turns to ice pretty quickly.
No, it slushes.
Yeah.
No, I did not have a beautiful white Christmas in Cheyenne. It was white, but it was not beautiful.
Yeah.
It melts and it gets black. Like the street. Yeah,
that's right. And that's how I remember it mostly, yeah. Being black and just ice.
Yeah. People right, imagine Tahoe.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Not the case.
At least Colorado's like 6 hours away from Omaha, so we would go there a lot to get some actually pretty snow and powder. Yeah. All right, let's talk the commercials real quick. Any commercials that stood out for you that you really liked?
Everyone's freaking out over the Dirty Dancing one. I don't know if it's because I'm not a huge Dirty Dancing fan, uh-huh. but like it's okay.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do an old movie, I don't know. Titanic? I don't know. That would have been funnier. I don't know what. Yeah, everyone's freaking out about that one. The Tide ads were very clever. Very clever. That thing was like stellar to me.
Yeah, I did like the Dirty Dance. It would have actually been funny if maybe they would have done a couple and would have come back to the Titanic.
Yeah,
and
then make a series out of it.
Yeah, because I didn't think the commercials were as good this year myself. I did like the NBC Sports one.
Well, they said less
people
watched it this year.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. Yeah. It went down. It was like the lowest since 2005. Is that right?
I don't know for sure, but I think it did go down.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people wanted to see different teams and not the Patriots anymore. And
yeah. It might be the last year.
For Tom Girl, I did like the NBC Sports Michaela Schifrin ones, Always Be Faster Than the Boys. So I had to bring that one up because I thought that was really, really cute.
Yeah. I'm here for all of the female empowerment.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Loved yes. it. All right. Let's see. We're going to play a quick little game here.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I'm highly competitive.
So just for you. Well, it's we're not really competing because it's just all about you.
All right. Okay.
But
you're always competing against yourself, actually. Yeah. Everyone, just so you know.
This
you
is going to be
your biggest enemy.
Your time. I'm putting it, instead of your two-minute warning, we're putting it in a basketball, and I'm calling this the 30-second shot clock.
Okay.
So we're going to answer these in 30 seconds or less.
Okay.
All right. All right. So... beer, whiskey, or wine?
Oh, man. Beer.
Where's your happy place?
The ocean. Not in the ocean. By the ocean. Not like drowning in the middle of the ocean.
Not bitten by a shark.
In the ocean.
What scares you?
Nothing. Fearless. All the time.
Yeah, nothing.
Did
no
you believe
snakes.
That?
No.
No.
Nothing gets you like a little rattled?
No, being buried alive or something like really traumatic that I probably don't want to think about right now. Happy thoughts. Happy
okay,
thoughts.
We'll go back to happy place.
Okay.
All right. What's on your bucket list?
Last year was jumping out of a plane, but I already did that.
Nice.
Yeah, check that off. What's on my bucket list? 30-second clock. Or is someone actually timing me? Is there a clock?
Anthony, you have a clock.
Okay.
We're probably pretty
bucket
close.
Bucket list. I haven't seen a Broadway show. I went to New York for the first time this last year and I didn't have time to go. So I'm going to say that one.
All it's right.
Kinda lame,
your most embarrassing moment?
I don't have one, obviously. Did you tell my reaction?
Yeah, I not
my
bad.
Most embarrassing moment is not appropriate for television. It's not. It's also traumatic. We have to move on. I'm
okay,
sorry.
All right.
I missed
Celebrity crush.
Celebrity crush. Oh man, I wasn't ready for this. A celebrity crush, Megan Fox.
All right, that's it. That was your.
Oh, I had more time to think about that one. Wow, she's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, yeah, she is great.
She's a babe.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there any last minute thoughts or anything I haven't asked you about or anything you want to put out there for
Jimmy Garoppolo? I'm gonna say that. Okay. I'm gonna say Jimmy GQ. Right now, yes.
That's your crush?
Celebrity crush? Is he a celebrity?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Good one. Good one.
Jimmy G, that's an attractive quarterback. I mean, in general, I don't get the Tom Brady thing.
Really?
I don't. And I keep, and everyone's like, okay, yeah, he's the most attractive man in the world. I don't.
I don't think most attractive man in the world.
People
but
say
I
that.
Do. I do think he's extremely attractive.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of him on Instagram when he's in, like, he was coming into the game and he has, like, that pea coat on and, like, his earbuds and his like sunglasses. Everyone's saying he looked like a single mom who just got like full custody of his kids leaving court. Like he probably got his outfit from Sharon Stone or something. I'm like, yeah, he's very like, I'm not saying he's unattractive, but like everyone acts like he's gorgeous. And I'm like, move over. Jimmy G's coming. Former Patriot. Watch out.
Yeah. So I have some friends at work pretty fired up about him too.
Yeah.
Guys and girls.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. Sorry, Tom. Yeah. Not a Tom girl. Not a Tom girl.
Well,
sorry.
Come on, she is a Tom girl. Let's
not a Tom
clear
Brady
this
girl.
Up. She's not.
Not a Tom Brady girl.
She is a Tom girl because she's here because of
I'm
all
a Tom girl. I'm not a Tom Brady girl.
Yeah. Let's just say you're not a Brady girl. Let's just get the Tom. Out
yeah.
Of there.
I'm not part of the Brady bunch.
There we go. You're perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming. It was so fun. So
of
fun
course.
To talk to you. Oh, I know what to ask you.
Okay.
Before we go, last question. Your goals. Like, where do you want to be in 5 years?
Oh man. a job interview question.
I know.
5 years. I'm thinking 5 days ahead right now. I always, whenever people ask me this, I always tell them it's like med school. Like, you start med school and people go like, oh, what kind of doctor are you going to be? And people are like, I don't know yet. I just started med school. So that's kind of where I'm at, is I don't know what my specialty is going to be yet. I don't know what I want to be doing in 5 years, but I love working in media and I can't shut up. So hopefully I can marry those two things. But yeah, the goal is to keep being in media. Yeah. Is that too vague? Awesome.
No, no, vague. It's not. No, it's okay. Not at all.
I'm sorry.
No, it's really not.
Be then, Katie Nolan. I want to be Katie Nolan in 5 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boom. All right. Well, that's awesome. Tell everybody again real quick where they can follow you.
Oh, at Danielle Alvari. So DanielleAlv, as in victory, ARI.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you here again next week. You can follow me. I'm JJ Jergens. You can follow me at Tom Girl TV. And we'll see you here next week. Bye.
Thanks, JJ. Yeah,
you're welcome.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, it's junk.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.